Welcome to the Doug Peterson Show.
Brought to you by Fresh from Florida.
J.P. Shadrick and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman discuss the latest Jaguars news with the head coach. The Doug Peterson Show starts right now.
And welcome in the Doug Peterson Show, presented by Fresh from Florida from the Hyundai Studios at the Miller Electric Center. J.P. Shadrick with you. No Jeff Loggeman this week. He'll be back next week. Head coach Doug Peterson is with us, as always. Good to see you, Coach.
Good to see you, too. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so Monday Night Football. It's the first time this franchise has played on Monday Night Football since the 2011 season. It's a long time ago. So most of us around here have no idea how the schedule works. So we were waiting to see what your schedule was this week and your adjustment moving things back just today, right?
Yeah, you know, I've always kept it. First of all, it is amazing that it's been since 2011, first of all. And hopefully this is the beginning of many more, you know, Monday and Sunday Night Football games. But, you know, for me, I try to keep the players. I do keep the players in a normal seven-day week. So I just kind of push the days back. So Tuesday is like our Monday. Today is a Wednesday, you know, Friday is a Thursday and Saturday is a Friday. So if that makes any sense to anybody, good luck. Cause I still haven't been able to figure it out, but I just keep the guys on a normal 7 day work week. And, it seems to work pretty good,
but it does help at the start of that, having that extra off day to get guys right coming off the Texans game. Right?
It does, you know, and we need another little break at this time of the year. We've got some guys that are nicked up and banged up and you know, just kind of another little 3 day mini bye, so to speak. So yeah, the guys used it, you know, to their advantage to get rest, and now we make a push here in the month of December.
You know, one final thought about last week's game, and the game turned, obviously, when Houston took the lead, third quarter, 14-13, there was a question, hey, which way is this Jags team going to go? How do they respond? The next two offensive drives, scores. The next two defensive drives, you get off the field. And that tells you about this group and their ability to handle a situation like that where things might not have gone the right way middle of the game, but they can come back and bounce back immediately.
Yeah, and the other positives are really could have been positives was Calvin's touchdown pass that was dropped. Yeah. And then again, possibly scoring at the end of the half. So you're going up maybe, you know, 20-7, 20-3, you know, something like that, 20-, you know, whatever it might be, or 27 points at that particular time. But, you know, I was really pleased at how, you know, how the team responded. We did have the adversity there early third quarter. We turned the ball over. They go down and scored, as you mentioned, to take the lead. But, you know, after that, our team really settled in and you know, did an outstanding job. Defense came up big, obviously, and just, you know, making some critical stops, especially late in the game to, you know, make him kick that long field goal.
Head coach Doug Peterson with us on the Doug Peterson Show. Well, let's get to the offensive line now and the shuffle up front. We saw the frustration on Cam Robinson's face on the screen last week. It's going to be down for a little bit. So Walker Little to left tackle, Ezra Cleveland to left guard. They had to jump in there during the game last week. How did they perform, and what's the confidence level up front right now?
You know, they performed really well. There were no sacks given up. And you know, it's why you go get veteran guys. It's why you hang on to big bodies this time of year, because offensive and defensive linemen are going to get banged up and they're going to miss a game or two, possibly three, or, you know, maybe Cam's case, four. So, you know, they both stepped in. Ezra on about 2 weeks of preparation, quite frankly, 3 weeks of preparation, and Walker bouncing out to left tackle, which he hasn't been out there in a while. So guys handled that extremely well. Now that this is a full game week coming up, both those guys will get more comfortable in their roles, Walker at left tackle, Ezra at left guard, and really solidify working together, you know, going into this game.
What's the first thing that stands out about the Bengals on defense? We all know about their offense. We'll get to that coming up, but who are these guys on defense? What do they do well?
You know, what they do well is this is a sound defense. They don't give up a ton of yards, a ton of explosive plays. I mean, much like the Buffalo Bills, much like you know, the teams that have been together for a while, this team has been together. This team has been to a Super Bowl. This defense has been there, and they've done it, and they've been on big games. They've been on the big stage, so to speak. And so, you know, they've got two good edge rushers, you know, in Hendrickson and Hubbard. I think these are two quality DNs. They're big in the middle. Reader is a huge man inside. You know, 55, their middle linebacker is a smart, young, talented player. And their secondary, they got some really good young players back there who play extremely well. And they do a variety of stuff on defense just to keep you off balance offensively. So, you know, it's just a style of play that there's a blend of a couple different defenses because of some of their personnel and really their defensive staff, you know, come from different teams, and they're bringing a couple things together. And so you're seeing a lot of that, but just a solid overall defense.
How much do you know about Zach Taylor, and how much do you pick Press's brain about his brother this week, if at all? Or does that come down to it?
I know him. You know, I know him a little bit. I know him from being at the meetings and things of that nature and whatnot. And we spoke on the phone, you know, several times, you know, in the off season, things like that. But listen, I don't talk to, you know, Press about it at all. Press is prepared for, you know, a game just like Zach is. And you know, obviously they may or may not talk during the week. You know, I wouldn't expect them to talk, but, you know, I've always admired Zach and what he's done there. You know, he had some adversity early in his coaching career, in Cincinnati, and obviously led him to a Super Bowl. And so he knows what it takes, right? And he's a great leader. He's done a nice job.
Joe Burrow's not around. You know, from a marketing perspective and things, that would have been a huge matchup, Burrow versus Lawrence. From a coaching perspective, okay, well, next guy up, it's Jake Browning. So where do you dig for Jake Browning tape? As you know, after the last 2 weeks, that's all he's really had in games.
Yeah, that's the only real meaningful reps he's taken. And then, you know, and is that enough to know exactly who he is? Probably not. You really have to maybe dive back and look into some of the archives and just kind of figure out who he is and the things that they're trying to do with him. But, you know, ultimately they're going to try to do things through the run game. They're going to move him. They're going to throw screens. They're going to do everything they can to keep a defense off balance. They know, you know, we've got a good run defense, and really the last couple of weeks being able to put pressure on the quarterback has been something that we've been able to do. So, you know, they're going to utilize the quick passing. Ball's going to be out of his hand extremely fast. And, you know, he's smart enough and he's good enough to beat you down the field. You can't go to sleep on him. You know, Zach will be smart and he'll do the things that he feels necessary to win a game.
Still got Mixon back there. Still got Ja'Marr Chase on the outside. He's right there in the upper echelon of wide receivers in the league.
Exactly. I mean, there's still a lot of talent on offense. And like I said, if it goes through the run game through Mixon, I mean, he can do it all. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. You can screen it to him. You obviously can hand it to him. And then, you know, with Ja'Marr Chase, obviously we know the type of receiver he is. If T. Higgins comes back, there's another dangerous receiver on the outside. So, you know, this team is not shy of talent. I mean, they've got plenty of talent on offense, and Jake understands that. That's one of the things you appreciate about the quarterback play is let those guys work for you and just try to find the open receiver and give them the ball.
Well, you had that role. You were backup quarterback, had to jump in there occasionally, right?
That's right, and that's what you got to do. You just keep steering the ship.
Head coach Doug Peterson with us. Start of a three-game stretch against the AFC North. Big picture, number three seed currently. How much do you present that to the team? Do you show them all the scenarios, or is it, hey, all eyes on the Bengals this week?
I think big picture. I want to show the team where we are and what we've kind of accomplished and where we sit. Big picture, but that lasts about 20 seconds, and then the next 6 days is about this football game and really focusing in on doing our job. And you know, listen, if we just continue to take care of business, the dust will settle at the end of the season, and we'll figure out where we are. And we're not going to worry about that right now. And we've got a talented Cincinnati team coming here on Monday night. They've again have been on the big stage. They know how to handle these moments. And so, you know, for me as the head coach here, making sure our guys, you know, don't make it bigger than it already is, right? And stay level-headed, stay grounded, control the emotions, all that type of thing, and go out and play our best football.
Finally, it's the My Calls, My Cleats game. Are you doing shoes this year?
I am.
What is the cause?
Pancreatic cancer, you know, to honor my brother, you know, and what he went through and a couple years ago. So, you know, the family again, we'll do that. And you know, obviously, but before, you just kind of maybe pick and choose a cause that you support or something like that. But this one now being closer to us as a family, it's something that we can honor and cherish and obviously honor my brother, you know, through this. And it's a great opportunity. I love doing it, and we'll continue to do it.
And the players have all their great causes as well. It's always a fun week to see what the guys come up with on the field. So really cool the NFL is allowing the players to do this and for great causes all around the league. Monday Night Football, lights are on, packed house, a blackout. Can't wait, right? This is what you live for.
This is what you live for. These are the moments that you want to be in as a football player, as a coach. And it's like I told our team, you know, last week, expect to be in these games. Don't just think that we're going to be in them once in a while. Expect to be in these games. And how we handle this, I think, goes a long way to you know, having more games in the future, you know, in prime time.
Great to see you, Coach. Thanks for the time, as always.
Yep, you bet. Thank you.
Head Coach Doug Peterson with us. Bengals-Jaguars game is presented by Florida Blue, the official health insurance solutions partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Plenty more ahead. This is the Doug Peterson Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
The Doug Peterson Show presented by Fresh from Florida from the Hyundai Studios at the Miller Electric Center. J.P. Shadrick with you. No Jeff Lagerman this week. He'll be back with us next week. Our thanks to head coach Doug Peterson joining us in the opening segment each and every week. And joining us now in studio is Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. Good afternoon, John.
I'm not sure I've ever followed Doug before.
It's tough.
Intimidating.
It's tough to do.
You can't do it.
It is nearly impossible.
So we'll start there.
So this is where we are. You know, it's a head coach that has a confident football team, it feels like, right now. They're missing some things. Yeah, they missed on the touchdown before halftime. Yeah, they threw the interception, but they found a way to take the lead right back in the third quarter when they lost it and won another football game, and now it's 7-8, and you just kind of feel this little surge of momentum from this group in that locker room.
Well, they know how to win, and it's such a striking difference, you know, from this time last – or actually not this time last year, but about midway through last season. They've played 22 games since this little stretch started, 16-6. And the teams they've lost to are Kansas City three times, a good Houston team, a good San Francisco team, and a good Lions team. This team knows how to win games they ought to win. Because they know that at certain points of the game, they know how to take control in key moments. That's kind of what you're talking about. They had every reason early on Sunday in the second half to sort of be deflated. You know, they had not gotten the touchdown at the end of the half. They come out and throw the pick, not really his fault necessarily, but it was
it
a pick
happened.
Nonetheless.
Yeah.
And then you're down by one. I had not a great feeling about that game at that point. They had, you know, your classic is you leave a team the opportunity to be in the game, and then that team's playing at home in a big game. A lot of times that goes the other way. And as you pointed out in the locker room a couple of times today, they took control of it, got a defensive stop, got up by 10. And from that time on in the game, the Texans are playing uphill. They almost completed the hill climb.
Sure.
But when you're playing uphill in the NFL, it's hard to get over that top. And that's where the Jaguars, coaching has to do with it. I think players stay calm. But they have confidence in those situations that they're going to win the game. And at 16-6 over the last 22 games, they should have confidence. They're a veteran team that knows how to win.
John, what was the biggest takeaway from the locker room today going into this Monday night game? For you.
Probably that, again, that confidence. Yeah. And, you know, they go into this, maybe it's not to share the locker room, just my vibe about the game. It's a game they ought to win, and I think they are concentrating on it to that degree. Monday night lights were a big topic today. I think they're excited about that. I would think that excitement, maybe it's not a locker room takeaway, it's just a vibe you get from talking to the players. 75% of the nation saw San Francisco, and 75% of the nation, therefore, saw the Jaguars play pretty bad.
Sure.
I don't think they want to – just like last week when I thought going into that, think Doug probably at some point told the guys last week, hey, see this first Houston game? Do you think you're that? No, coach, we don't. Well, then go show them. You know what I mean? So I think this is another sort of go show them game. Look, you're better than you played last time you showed the nation what you were. If you don't want them to think that you're that team, you better go out and play.
That's right.
And I think combination of Monday night, combination of the Bengals to me don't feel right now like a team that's going to get away from you offensively. So I think there'll be a calmness on the Jags' part. I expect it to be a game where the defense plays well in the first half, gives the offense a chance to go start functioning. And then in the second half, I think they'll maybe a little like the Tennessee game when the defense stop, and then the offense said, okay, now we're ready to go. I mean, it could feel a little like that. Maybe not the blowout that game was, but I think the defense right now is playing well enough to give the offense a chance to get rolling.
We've got plenty ahead. John, stick around. We'll come back and get to the defense and Josh Allen. We were both around his locker today, and, hey, he's feeling it right now.
Good player.
There's no doubt about that. Jags fans want customized Jaguars furniture for your home. Check out ZipChair.com and browse all customizable options. ZipChair furniture for fans. It's the Doug Peterson Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
And the Doug Peterson Show is presented by Fresh from Florida. JP Shadrick with you. Jeff Logman out this week. He'll be back with us next week. The Jaguars have Monday Night Football this week, week 13. The Cincinnati Bengals at 5-6. The Jaguars at 8-3. First place in the AFC South. Two games clear of the Colts and the Texans. And the number three seed currently in the AFC playoff chase. Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier with us in studio. And we were both around the locker today of one Josh Allen, outside linebacker, 38 tackles, 12 sacks, 10 tackles for loss, 22 quarterback hits. And he had them in big moments last week, obviously. The sack and a half on the key final drive. And the difference in yardage was obviously the difference in the field goal hitting the crossbar and not on the sack that he split with Trayvon Walker at the end. It was a 9-yard sack. They got 7 back on the next play. 2 yards difference, a big deal. But, hey, the numbers are racking up for him. His confidence is there, and he's playing big. He has turned into a game-wrecking player, an outside linebacker.
Yeah, and obviously couldn't be happier for him. He's such a good guy, in my opinion, and has worked hard to get here. I don't really necessarily believe that he's that much better than he always has been. And that's not to take away from what he's doing. I just think he's always been a really good player for this team who has been unfairly criticized at times because the sack total wasn't where ideally it was. I think a lot of that for a lot of years had to do with, you know, when you trail by a bunch of points, teams aren't going to be in passing situations to allow you to get home. So I think that had something to do with it. I think he is better. I'm not saying he's not closing better. But I guess my point in that is I'm not sure it's fair necessarily for people to say, and I get a lot of emails like this, oh, it's contract year, he's playing great. Yeah, I don't know that it's necessarily Josh is in there saying, I'm going to get a big contract, so I'm going to play good. I think he continues to improve, continues to work hard, continues to be professional, and this is the result. And I don't think you're necessarily running a risk by signing him to a big deal. He's so reliable, so motivated, such a good leader, such a good locker room guy, that he's the kind of guy that you want to have a contract year in the right year, right? Like,
yeah.
Some guys you have it and you think, well, the team's got to re-sign him now. That might not be a great thing. With this guy, you know, I think he's the whole package and always has been. And I've always thought with Josh, his floor is so high, meaning even when he's not having a big sack year, to me, you heard me say it a million times last year, JP, he was always the guy that when there was a defensive guy down and you sort of look up and, you know, you're trying to figure out who it is, everybody's surrounding him, he was always the guy that I said, boy, I hope it's not Josh, because he was the one guy, even on a non-big sack year, I don't know how you replace him. You know, everything that he does You don't want him off the field, and you sure don't want him off the field this year.
No, not at all. The way he's playing right now, and then on the other side, Trayvon Walker, 29 tackles, 4.5 sacks. They're moving those guys around in different scenarios last week, which was cool to
see. To me, Trayvon, if Josh was the most overly criticized player last year, I don't hear that much criticism about Trayvon anymore the last couple of weeks. But with apologies to Josh, I think Trayvon might be the key to the whole thing. Not necessarily Josh's numbers, but he is so stout. When Tomlin called him a wrecking ball the last before they played the Steelers, a lot of people dismissed that. He takes away sides of the field in the run game, to me. And you watch him collapsing the pocket. I don't think this defense wants to be without Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. Doesn't want to be without Trayvon Walker either. Those two guys, to me, make this defense really, really hard to attack. I think it's hard to run against this team because you've got to run away from Trayvon Walker, and then you're running away from – and you're running toward Josh Allen. Well, that's not good either.
That's right.
So, and then you got to go up the middle and try to find a way to run around Foyer. So – a really good front seven, and to me, Trayvon and Josh are maybe the two keys, with apologies to four or five other guys.
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys that would raise their hand as well.
Yeah, Foley Fatakasi,
Roy,
Aluakon, Roy. I mean, this is a hard, hard defense to run against, and that sets up everything else.
Let's come back in a moment. The offensive line shuffling around a little bit, but this could be the starting five for the foreseeable future for the Jaguars. That's after this with John Osier. It's the Doug Peterson Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
And the Doug Peterson Show is presented by Fresh from Florida. JP Shadrick with you. Jeff Logman out this week. He'll be back with us next time around. John Osier, Jaguars.com senior writer, stepping in for a few segments tonight. Always a pleasure, John. This is like
is
the
it?
Old days.
It's
like the original Jaguars.com.
That's right.
Kind of.
Yeah, the original team.
Crew here.
Getting the crew back together. One bond.
Yeah, here we go. And now we got a brand new building. All these fantastic folks in the department getting things done. Here on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars Radio Network. Glad you're along with us tonight for the Jaguars and the Bengals coming up this Monday on Monday Night Football. And so, again, stop me if you've heard this before this season. There are changes in the offensive line for the Jaguars. It's been quite a season up front. Of course, the start of the season, it was Walker Little at left tackle with Cam Robinson out with a suspension. Then game five in London, they switched that up. It lasted 11 plays. Walker Little got hurt in the game against Buffalo. He had to leave and was out for a little bit, and then finally came back to play left guard, and then Cam Robinson gets hurt at left tackle. So last week they switched during the game, and Walker Little goes to left tackle. Ezra Cleveland, who was added at the deadline from Minnesota, jumps into the game at left guard. And this could be the foreseeable left side of the line for at least the next month with Cam Robinson on the shelf.
Yeah, and as you alluded to, we've done a lot of shows together over the years, so stop me if you heard this before.
Okay.
In the off season, and even during the season, we have become an age where people like to play depth chart football,
to call it. Oh, you know it.
And there's always a thing of everybody thinks about the starting five. And, you know, if you're a starter, you're great. And if you're not a starter, you suck, right? I mean, that's sort of the, you know, oh, he's not starting. He must be a bust. He's not starting, you know. Well, the Jaguars in the last couple of years have really, I think every team thinks this, and the Jaguars have really, you know, done it. They believe they need 7 or 8 offensive linemen to get through a season. You saw it last year. Tyler Shatley comes in for Barch, and Walker Little steps in for Cam Robinson. I don't think they make the postseason if those two guys don't play at a high level last year. They have played it this year, bringing in Ezra Cleveland, having Walker Little there and available at left guard to kick out. Shatley is still there. People have asked me, what happens when Cam comes back, whatever. I truly think these coaches look at these guys – Not much difference between Walker Little and Cam Robinson. Not much difference between Walker Little and Ezra Cleveland. Maybe even Shatley, put him in that bunch. I expect the offensive line to play just as well, if not better, as they get continuity with these guys. I don't think they think there's much of a difference between those seven. Five have to start, but Walker Little, I don't think they think there's that much of a difference between him and Cam on the outside.
Well, they didn't last year either.
Right.
Yeah,
so, why don't you trade him? Well, all offseason, that's all I heard about Cam. Trade this guy. Have good players available, because in the NFL, there's not 22 starters in the NFL. You need about 30. And on the offensive line, they got a bunch of starters. And credit to them for coaching, acquiring players that way, and for the players to buy into it. I think they'll be fine moving forward with this bunch. I don't know what will happen in 4 weeks when Cam comes back.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really predict the future. But, you know, if this group in theory is playing well
sure.
to above average, then why would you – you know, shake up the apple cart.
Right, you may not, but then they also may, at that point, need Cam to come back.
They might.
Because you just don't know. You have got to plan for attrition on the offensive line. I mean, attrition might be too strong, but ins and outs, which is what they've had this year, and I think they'll be fine moving forward with this bunch.
It'll be something to watch, certainly. And, hey, it's been a storyline all season long, but this will be the left side of the line for at least the next month. The receiving core is back, and everybody's back, and Zay Jones is back, and everybody's making catches, and for the most part. And, you know, the only one of those big four that doesn't have a touchdown catch this year is Evan Engram.
Yeah, and I think Trevor probably said it best today. He goes, well, I haven't thrown that many, so it's probably not Evan's fault. I'm paraphrasing that. I think that's just sort of coincidental. A little stretch where the offense wasn't converting in the red zone, didn't work great in the red zone last week and still won, probably combines to account for that a little bit. I think Evan will have a couple of touchdowns before the end of the season. He still very much matters. I know he'd like to have touchdowns. I don't think he's that overly worried that he's never going to catch a touchdown pass again. I thought it was interesting last week that in the biggest output game passing-wise, it was 89 Ridley, 89 Kirk, 55 Luke Farrell, 49 Engram. You know, a lot of guys contributing. I think that's what they think works best. And it felt last week smoother and more organic than anything they've done in the passing game so far. I don't think the passing game is going to be a major issue going forward. I mean, I think it's going to be fine.
Sure.
To me, the key is when this team gets in the red zone and starts getting close, can they run when they need to run? If they can unlock that, I think all of a sudden your red zone gets easier. Teams believe even more that you're going to run, and that sets up the pass to work. I think the passing game will start moving. If they can just get this short yardage thing figured out, then I think all of a sudden you start seeing points go way, way up.
Wait, there's a short yardage thing? Oh, yeah, that we kind of buried the lead. That's what a lot of the fans are kind of worried about over the last little while.
And fairly so. I mean, it third and short feels like third and long for this team sometimes. And doesn't mean the offensive line played better last week as a pass blocking unit. Still, you just wonder about that push. Hasn't been there consistently enough. Ezra Cleveland coming in, times it looked better last week. So with cohesion, does that start moving? It's what you hope. I don't know how to predict that because we haven't seen it yet. But there are times that cohesion with the right bunch can unlock that even when it hasn't been there before. It's maybe the position that depends most on cohesion. So maybe we'll see it.
Johnny O, I owe you a bullet, Bob, next time we're at Strings.
Well, maybe two.
Yeah, okay. I can do that, too. So, appreciate you, man.
Fantastic, buddy.
Senior
appreciate
writer
you.
John Osher joining us here in the Miller Electric Center in the Hyundai Studios. We'll return with Fred Taylor, pride of the Jaguars running back. He's a Hall of Fame semifinalist. We'll get his thoughts on that right after this. It's the Doug Peterson Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
And the Doug Peterson Show is presented by Fresh from Florida. J.P. Shadrick with you on this Thursday. No Jeff Loggeman this week. He'll be back with us next time around. Our thanks to head coach Doug Peterson. He joins us in the opening segment each and every Doug Peterson Show. And we caught up with the head coach earlier today. John Osier, Jaguars.com senior writer, with some great analysis. Josh Allen talk, offensive line. A lot going on for this 8-3 Jaguars team. They'll entertain the Cincinnati Bengals this Monday night. Monday Night Football for the first time for the Jags since 2011. We'll get to more of that in just a little bit. Also this week, the Pro Football Hall of Fame announced the semifinalist group, 25 players in the semifinals for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2024, including now for the fifth time, pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor, again a semifinalist.
I'm good, man. Thank you so much. Feels good to be back amongst those top 25 and be a semifinalist for the fifth time, I believe. That's encouraging. You know, I think that, you know, the more opportunities I am a semifinalist, I should be able to crack the room, the top 15, as we like to call it, and be able to get in the room. So where the conversation gets a bit more serious and people pay a little bit more attention to you, to your resume and the things you were able to do as a player. I like my chances this year of getting in the room. Chances of being, nominated for the final five, you know, you kind of play, look at the list and do this and do that. You know, not that I'm being pessimistic, but I'm being more realistic. When you look at those guys, breaking that list down, I think Julius Peppers got to go. Antonio Gates got to go. These are two guys who are statistically in the top five at their respective positions. Torrey Holt, he's been a semifinalist. I believe this is his 10th year. He's also been a finalist. So they have a backlog of receivers. They got to start clearing some of those guys out. So I believe they'll probably take two receivers this year. Maybe Torrey, maybe Reggie Wayne. Jared Allen, who had a monster career as well. I'm thinking about Devin Hester, one of the greatest returners ever. You know, are they going to make him wait? Or are they going to look and say, hey, you're supposed to be in there? So when you try to crunch those numbers and say, how can we, it's five guys. Are they ever going to push it to seven? Like, you can take two more, right? You can increase it by 20% or so and create room and more space and get rid of a bit of a backlog there. But I don't know. You know, I say all that to say I'm thankful when it happens. God timing is the best timing. But for now, JP, it's time for Monday Night Football in Duval, baby. And that's what it's about.
That's Fred Taylor, of course, pride of the Jaguars running back. The full conversation with Freddie T, most of it ran earlier on a show here in Jacksonville, Jaguars Happy Hour, and the archive of that available in the official Jaguars Podcast Network coming up, or Countdown to Kickoff. That will run on Saturday on the Podcast Network. And yes, Countdown to Kickoff, the show on Monday night ahead of Monday Night Football. You'll hear from Fred again at 7 o'clock is when that show begins here on the network ahead of Week 13, the Bengals and the Jaguars. We always have Fred Taylor in Jaguars postgame as well with instant analysis after the game. And by now we all know, for the most part, Fred's totals in his career. 17th on the all-time rushing yardage list in the National Football League, 11,695 yards, 42nd on the career rushing touchdown list, and a career rushing, a yards per rush average of 4.6. Pretty incredible. Obviously, we remember the highlight plays from Fred, and those will stand out. Once the next step now is to get into the finalist mode, down to 15. We've gone through this before with Baselli, obviously. When you get down to 15, that gets you in the room, so to speak. That's the verbiage they use for it, and that gets you talked about and discussed on Super Bowl weekend when the selection committee meets for the Hall of Fame. And it could still be a process for Fred, but it's a good step to be a semifinalist again. And then at some point he'll get into that top 15 and they'll have to discuss and they'll have to talk about some of the huge highlight moments and plays and longevity he had at the running back position here in Jacksonville. We'll look forward to that day when it happens. We're back in a moment. We'll hear from Walker Little, Jaguars left tackle, moving back to the outside this week again. He jumped over there last week in place of Cam Robinson, who was injured in the game in Houston. We'll hear from Walker Little and much more ahead, the injury report ahead as well, ahead of this Monday Night Football matchup, the Jaguars and the Bengals coming up. This is the Doug Peterson Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
This is the Doug Peterson Show presented by Fresh from Florida. JP Shadrick with you. Jeff Lagerman back with us next week. Our thanks to head coach Doug Peterson joining us in the opening segment each and every Thursday. John Osier, Jaguars.com senior writer, stepping in a little bit tonight as well ahead of this Monday Night Football matchup. The Cincinnati Bengals 5-6, the Jaguars 8-3. It was going to be Burrow versus Lawrence, but Burrow has a wrist injury and he's out for the year. So it's Trevor Lawrence's show. Jake Browning will get the start at quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals, an undrafted player a few years ago, now making his second career start this week, second in a row. He came in relief in week 11 at Baltimore, and last week against Pittsburgh in a start, 227 yards, touchdown and interception in a losing effort for the Bengals. So time to stop the run and get after the young quarterback, inexperienced quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals, and let Trevor do his thing, certainly on the other side of the ledger. And to let Trevor do his thing on the other side, starts up front on the offensive line, and changes continue. And we, as we talked about with John just a little while ago, the change in the offensive line this time around, Cam Robinson on the reserve injured list for at least 4 weeks. So Walker Little, in the game last week, moved out to left tackle to take his spot. Ezra Cleveland moves up to left guard. They finished the game. You heard Doug Peterson talk about it tonight. And liked the way they played and has a lot of confidence in this group moving ahead. I caught up with Walker Little in the locker room today, and the difficulty of making a mid-game change from guard to left tackle.
Yeah, I mean, it's a challenge, but you know, obviously I've got a lot of reps at left tackle, and so it was something I was comfortable with and something I was able to do. And, you know, we had a great game plan, so we were able to execute as an offense and able to get away with the win, so it was awesome.
Got Ezra Cleveland, who moved in there with you also, into to left guard, a guy who's been around the league for a while. What are your first impressions of him, and how has he fit in amongst this group?
Yeah, I mean, he's a great player. Obviously, he's played a lot of snaps in Minnesota and played really well, and so he stepped in to that game, obviously coming in and playing left guard, and it was fun to play next to him.
You know, last week, pretty clean game on the offensive line, only two quarterback hits on Trevor, no sacks on the quarterback. How does this group now, with six to go, start to take a step together as a starting five up front?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're focusing on playing within ourselves, just running the ball well and to open up the pass game, and then obviously, you know, we feel confident in our pass protection, our ability to go against any defensive line right now, so we're going against a good one again this week, so it's a great challenge for us.
Yeah, what stands out about the Bengals front?
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of big strong guys inside, and then on the outside they have two really good edge rushers, and they're deep as well. I mean, their twos are just as good, so we are a challenge cut out for us.
Up two with six to go in the division, all the seeding and everything in play. Do you guys look at that at all? Does Doug present that stuff to you? Do you worry about it, or you just kind of play one at a time?
I mean, it's presented to us, obviously, and we know where we stand, but the focus is just to win one game at a time at this point, and try to win each game where you go out and play. And, you know, right now we're focused on the Bengals.
The last time the Jaguars played Monday Night Football was 2011. It's been a long time, so obviously your first chance to get out there on Monday night as well. What is your excitement level?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be great. Obviously, Monday Night Football anywhere is awesome, but I'm really excited that it's here in Jacksonville in front of our home fans, and so we're going against a great team, and it'll be really fun to play in the bank.
Thanks for the time, Walker. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That is Walker Little, now playing left tackle for the Jacksonville Jaguars, former second-round pick out of Stanford, and a guy who's played a lot of football here. You know, nine games in that 2021 season with three starts. That was his rookie year. And then played in all 17 last year with three starts. Those were down the stretch in a similar circumstance to right now, where Cam Robinson was hurt. Walker Little comes in And the Jags really didn't miss a beat on the offensive line at the end of last season. And they would love, obviously, to replicate that moving ahead. And there were some that that really, really enjoyed his play down the stretch. And so far, at least in the half of football that was that happened last week with him at left tackle and Ezra Cleveland at left guard, Doug Peterson likes what he saw out of that. That would be a nice start up front for this offense this week against the Cincinnati Bengals, who are really talented, certainly on the interior of the defensive line. Statistically, they may not show it, but they do have some really good personnel up front. Hendrickson, a sack leader at 10.5 sacks on the defensive line on the edge as well. So they do have some guys that can get after you a little bit. And let's see what Walker Little has to offer now. Back out to his natural position. He had never played guard before. Then, well, now he has, and now he's back to left tackle. And let's see it for the next month at least, and check out what this offense can do with the offensive line solidified, hopefully, with five starters, the same five starters for the next month at least. Bootleggers, get ready. Luke Combs is bringing two nights of the Growing Up and Getting Old Tour to Everbank Stadium May 3rd and 4th in 2024. Different special guests each night. Tickets are on sale now. Visit everbankstadium.com. We'll return with a final look at the injury report and final thoughts ahead of Monday Night Football. The Bengals and the Jaguars coming up at Everbank Stadium this Monday. And this is the Doug Peterson Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
Well, the Doug Peterson Show presented by Fresh from Florida. JP Shadrick with you, and it's week 13, final day of November today. Turn the calendar tomorrow for December 1st, and coming up this Monday, it's week 13 for the Jaguars, the first Monday Night Football game since 2011 for the Jags organization. We'll go on the air at 7 o'clock Monday on the network for Countdown to Kickoff ahead of that football game, and catch up with head coach Doug Peterson as we always do. Fred Taylor, plenty of other special guests and things in the hopper for the Bengals-Jaguars game presented by Florida Blue, the official health insurance solutions partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And if you haven't already, and I don't know why you haven't, if you have a smartphone, and again, I don't know why you wouldn't have one of those either, download the Jaguars official app. And there are instructions on the Jaguars official app that you likely have your tickets through to join in the light show, the pregame light show. It's all over the app. It's everywhere. You can't miss it. Click on it. Opt in. And during the introductions before kickoff, you need to be in your seat probably 15 minutes or so before kick to participate in this. Should be a fantastic show, and you'll have to be a part of it. Or we'd love for you, of course, to be a part of it if you opt in on your phone to use your lights and everything on the phone. And what a scene it should be. It's been a long time coming on a Monday night, and we can say this same exact conversation in a couple of weeks when the Jaguars play on Sunday Night Football. It's been even longer for the Jaguars on true NBC Sunday Night Football. That's since 2008. So we're taking down some history in the next couple of weeks as an organization here, but should be a fantastic night for it. And looking forward to the matchup against the Cincinnati Bengals, the start of a three-game run for the Jaguars against the AFC North. Well, we'll find out if the Jaguars can stick with it and stay on pace, at least, to be in the conversation for the number one seed. It starts this week, though, against Cincinnati. And, again, an 8:15 kickoff time. Thanks to our entire crew today. Thanks to head coach Doug Peterson, senior writer John Osier joining us, Joe Fortunato, Brent Reber, David Cho, Andrea Curry, Nick Cortez, William Pease, Kate Wasky, all the above. Thank you for listening. I'm JP Shadrick. We'll see you Monday night at the bank for Monday Night Football, and this is the Doug Peterson Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.